certainly enjoyed the day with you today. And tonight we want to work out of John, the first epistle of John, chapter 4. And we shall begin our reading at verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. And I'm so glad that you have enjoyed, as I have enjoyed, since they moved to Burlington, our brother David Morris. The young man loves the Lord, and he knows the book. And we have sweet fellowship together. And we plow in the same furrow. And it's just a delight to be around brother David. And I'm glad that the good reports that I've heard of that you enjoyed his ministry last Lord's Day with you. And when he preaches, it's just like eating honey. I just love to sit there and listen. And my soul is blessed. And we've had sweet fellowship together for a number of years. And I just simply praise God for young men who love the Lord and who study and who minister the Word of God. So we begin tonight with 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. But ye are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege that is ours to open your word, to read it. What a revelation you've given us of yourself, your purposes in grace, your design for the universe, and your desires for the universe. And we thank you that there's a day coming when through that work that was done on Calvary's cross and the work that shall be accomplished when our blessed Lord returns again in the consummation of all things, that after all is said and done, he shall be able to yield up the kingdom to thee, our God and Father, and the triune God will reign supreme, unhindered, throughout all the endless ages of eternity. We marvel, our Father, at your grace. We thank you that you have placed us into a position wherein we are in fellowship with thee, the eternal God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your word tonight. Speak to our hearts. Strengthen us and encourage us this day for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. The United States Secret Service detects and it destroys well over $1 million worth of bogus counterfeit money every year. In other words, the government has issued a book in order that people will be able to detect counterfeits real easily. That book is called Know Your Money. Now, if it's important, beloved, to know bogus money from the real thing. How much more important is it to be able to detect spiritual phonies and false doctrine? And the Apostle Paul writes from this, and in tenderness and intensity, the Apostle Paul writes what we have read tonight. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Now, in our present age, experience is exalted above the Word of God. I've had an experience. Well, everybody has had an experience. Everybody has had an experience. I'll never forget when I was, this goes back about 35 years ago, a preacher that our brother Lacey Buffalo really liked. And I'll never forget what he said. I went to hear him at a tent meeting in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Oliver Green. To hear Oliver Green in person. And I'll never forget, he was preaching on Acts chapter 16. And the conversion of Lydia and the conversion of the Philippian jailer. That's what he was on that night. And he dealt with the subject of experience. He says, a lot of people would like to have an experience. And they exalt experience that they've had. He said, if you want an experience, come to me. I can give you one. He said, I have a good baseball bat. I can hit you over the head with it, and you can have a lump in your head and go out and show people that you had an experience. I'll never forget that. But it's an amazing thing. Over the years, I've had a lot of Bible classes at a lot of places. I've had to combat this matter of experience with rather than the Word of God. I've had an experience. I experienced this. I experienced that. But what does the Word of God say? And you and I are living in a day when experience is exalted above the Word of God, and the Christian public is enamored by claims of people concerning miracles, concerning healings, concerning signs. And the child of God today must be discerning. How do we test the spirits is what I want to talk about tonight. How do we discern between that which is truth and that which is error? We read that we should from 1 John chapter 4. Now, how do we put this into practice? And we must remember what Paul wrote to Timothy. When you remember when Moses and Aaron went to Egypt in order to deliver the children of Israel from bondage, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. They could duplicate the miracles that Moses and Aaron performed. Now, who's right? Who's right? But they could only do it up to a certain point. The time came that these men had to say, this is a finger of God. This is a finger of God. They couldn't do anything. They were helpless. For a while they could duplicate, but then they couldn't. You see, Satan is in the business of deception by counterfeiting in order that he may mislead many. He wants to mislead. The Apostle Paul states something that we need to read. I want you to turn with me for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I usually don't have you turn with me, but this is so important, I feel, that we should read it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we want to begin our reading at verse 13, where he's dealing with false teachers, counterfeiters. He says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. These are serious words. Tragically, the Christian public today is gullible, and a word of caution is necessary. And I'm sounding a warning tonight from 1 John chapter 4. And we need to be warned if you and I are going to confront the leaven of false doctrine. And false doctrine is like what is known in Matthew 13 in the parable of the leaven that our Lord told, where the woman took leaven and put it into the meal, and the whole was leavened. And false doctrine grows, and it grows rapidly. You can see this in the book of Genesis, you see, when you just study the life of Esau. Oh, there were kings, or the scripture says, that reigned in Edom long before there were ever any kings in Israel. The flesh is very prolific. Edom prospered. He was going strong. Israel hardly had a family going yet. And there were twin boys. And I think there's a lesson in this. And you know, we have to do something. And we're often told that we're not allowed to do it. We must judge the teaching of men who would pervert the Word of God if you and I are going to test the spirits. Often we're told, judge not, lest you be not judged. And you see, that passage there in the Sermon on the Mount doesn't mean that we shouldn't be discerning people. For we must, according to the very words of our Lord, we have to inspect the fruit. By their fruits ye shall know them. And the judging, and you and I cannot judge in the respect of that passage. We cannot pass sentence. That is left to the Lord. But we do need to be discerning. We are living in a day of counterfeit false doctrine. So we come to testing the spirits. Three things tonight I want to deal with. And these three things, I believe from the text in 1 John chapter 4, are very important. Number one, we must judge the teaching of men who would pervert the Word of God. We must judge it. If you and I are going to test the spirits, we must hold fast ourselves to the truths of the Word of God. That's so important. Paul advised the believers at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in the midst of a series of spiritual exhortations. He says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Verse 21. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. And he exhorted them to do this. And when he was writing to his own son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, he says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. A true believer, beloved, cannot be careless about the things that we hear. It is necessary for us to give ourselves to the study and to the searching of the Word of God. We must do it. Now, beloved, it's not enough to just take a verse of Scripture and read it quickly as before you run out the door to go to work in the morning, or to read a verse before you climb into bed at night. You must study the Scriptures. The Thessalonians or the Berean believers were more noble than they at Thessalonica, for they searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And if you and I are going to test the spirits, 1 hour on a Sunday morning And a little bit on a Sunday night is not enough. And we're living in a day and age where people hardly get an hour on a Sunday morning. And that's about all they get. And I'm so afraid that there are a lot of people today who are not reading and searching the Word of God. It is important. Now, we must be determined as God's children not to be illiterate Christians. There's a second thing. False doctrine must be avoided and hated. We must avoid false teaching. Now, most Christians today don't think it's important what they hear, who they listen to, or what they hear. But our Lord Jesus gave a warning, and that warning is in Mark chapter 4, verse 24. He said, "Take heed what you hear." Take heed what you hear. That's a warning from the Lord. I do not want to listen to a lot of nonsense when it comes to the Word of God. I don't want to listen to a lot of nonsense either when it comes to music. I'll be honest with you on that. I want that which is going to exalt the Lord, and He's going to feed my soul. This is our responsibility before the Lord. And the Apostle Paul stressed this when he wrote to the Galatian churches, the churches of Galatia. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach unto you any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be anathema, let him be accursed." In other words, that gospel which concerns our Lord Jesus Christ, that gospel by which men are saved, that gospel by which our Lord is exalted, is so important that it cannot be tampered with. You cannot mix grace with works. A man is either saved by grace or he isn't saved at all. You cannot be saved by works. No matter if they're good works of yours. And that's what was coming into the Galatian church. And Paul very explicitly taught, if you ever hear me go say the wrong thing, from what I told you, when I was with you, I preached the gospel to you. If I ever do that, or an angel from heaven would come and do it, let him be accursed. That's how important it is, beloved. Now, they're strong words, aren't they? Let the curse of God rest upon him if this happens. See, well-meaning Christians have often said, "I've heard it. Oh, our preacher doesn't preach a gospel." But you know, we've gone to this church all our life. My grandmother went there. And you know, you can go down the list. And these things are said oftentimes. But beloved, we're going to give an account of what we listen to. Am I careful in what I listen to? Do I test the spirits? Now, in other words, Paul, again, when he wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 5, he says, "If any man forsakes the holy words of Scripture, the wholesome words, and teaches contrary to sound doctrine, he is proud, he is foolish, and he's not supposed to be heard." That's what Paul says. And the word that you find there in verse 4 of 1 Timothy 6, that word doting, that's an interesting word. Do you know what it means? It means he is diseased. That's the word that's translated there concerning those who teach contrary. And then he adds in verse 5, from such withdraw thyself. We have a responsibility, beloved, this matter of testing the spirits. May I give you an illustration? A number of months ago, it was actually last summer, a few preachers that I get together with and pray, this one was going to have a meeting, and we were going to go out and eat together, and then we were going to sit or gather together and pray. And I had a preacher riding in my car as we were going to the restaurant to have lunch together. In fact, I had two of them. And I asked the question of this young man. I asked him, because he belonged to a certain denomination, I asked him, what's the difference between this group in that denomination and another group in that denomination? And I'm being very careful not to say what it is. Well, he said, what makes us different from the others is we believe that all the gifts are in the church today. And then he also said, we also believe that women have the right to minister in the church, public ministry. And he said, the other group doesn't. Well, I said, when you talk about all the gifts in the church today, I said, you believe there are apostles in the church today. That's the first gift mentioned. Are there apostles today? And boy, he started, he didn't know quite what to say. I left him off the hook. But the other preacher said, boy, he said, you've put him on the spot pretty hard. I said, well, it's very important. Because nobody, now watch this, nobody believe something if it doesn't include them. And those men who teach that there are apostles in the church today usually set themselves up as one, and they start giving orders to others to follow in their steps. Now, when you go into details like this with these men, well, we got together that afternoon and they started talking about experience, an experience that they had. And I listened for about 3/4 of an hour. And I simply said, now, brethren, I said, you have me confused. I'm really confused. I said, you're talking about something I don't have. And I didn't want to tell them I didn't want it either. But I said, now listen. I said, the reason I'm confused, you're talking about something I don't have and you can get. But my Bible tells me that in him dwelleth all the fullness in the person of Christ. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him are ye complete. If I'm already complete, why do I need this? Beloved, false doctrine must be avoided and it must be hated. And the only way that we can avoid it is to know the Scriptures ourselves. And if any man forsakes the wholesome words of Scripture, he's to be avoided. From such withdraw thyself. Look at 2 John for a moment in verses 7 through 11. You're right there at 1 John 4. Just go to 2 John, verses 7 to 11. He says in these words, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist, Look to yourselves, that ye lose not those things which ye have wrought, and that ye receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. It has reference to the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostle warns the elect lady in 2 John. And then there's a third thing we want to look at very quickly, and that is this. We must understand, beloved, that Satan's attack is against Christ's person. It is against his person. You see, what a person believes about the person of Christ is most important as we listen to him in his preaching or his teaching. Every doctrine or teaching, every system of religion must be regulated by this criteria. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's what our Lord asked his disciples at Caesarea Philippi. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who is Jesus Christ? And you see, our answer must be the same as Peter's. What did Peter really say? He says, Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah. And by the way, that's what the Lord Jesus said of himself. In the synagogue at Nazareth, where he was brought up, he read from the prophet Isaiah, and he said, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach a gospel to the poor. I'm the anointed one of this by the Spirit of God. God has sent me to preach a gospel to the poor, to give the recovery of sight to the blind, the acceptable year of the Lord, and all those many other things that he are quoted there from Isaiah. And that's what the word Christ means. Thou art the anointed one. You're the Messiah. But you're more than that. You are the Son of the living God. You are the virgin-born Son of God. You are the Son of God. That's what Peter said that day. And that's what you and I must say also. For this reason, on the cross on Calvary's Hill, our blessed Lord did a work that no one else could ever do. And to do that work, he had to be who he was. If our Lord wasn't who he was, he could never have done the work which he did. It's who he was that gave value to his death and was proven by his resurrection from the dead. For in his resurrection from the dead, he is declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now, to do this properly, in other words, to test what people say concerning the person of Christ, you and I have to search the Word of God. And I must determine, when I listen to them, is this teaching really what the Word of God says? Or is it not? And I am responsible. And, beloved, the Holy Spirit never speaks contrary to the revealed Word of God. He's always in harmony with Scripture. When any believer obeys the warning of John, he tests what he hears by the promises of the Word of God. The promise of 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. What is the promise? What did we read? It says, Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We know. How do we know? What do they say concerning the person of Christ? We test what we hear by the Word of God. And because a believer is indwelt by the Spirit of God, he's indwelt by the Spirit of truth, he will recognize immediately And his soul will bear witness to with the Spirit of God. This man is teaching the truth concerning Christ. Or this man is teaching error. And you withstand the error. It's not always easy to do. Sometimes it puts you at odds with a whole group of men. And you have to stand alone. And we must be ready to pay the price, beloved. For this is far more important than anything else. And this happens, beloved, when a believer accepts and appropriates the living Word of God. I'd like to apply this two ways very quickly. Application number one. It's in the form of a question. Am I acquainted with the words of Holy Scripture? How can I tell? Am I acquainted with the words of Holy Scripture? Well, when a problem arises, do I run to see what somebody else says, or do I go to the Word of God to see what the Word of God says? That's a simple test. Do I go to Scripture, or do I go to what somebody else says about Scripture? Am I acquainted with the words of Holy Scripture? Now, it's a blessed thing, beloved, for God has given gifts to the body of Christ, and He's given us teachers. It's a wonderful thing when we have a person to turn to and to ask questions. That's a wonderful blessing. But to know the Scriptures yourself is far better. To know the Scriptures yourself is far better. And am I personally, in the Word of God, am I acquainted with the words of Scripture? Now there's a second application. And it's in the form of a question too. Do I apply the words of Holy Scripture to myself as I study and read the Word of God? A little while back, well, it's about a year now, we had our brother Tom Taylor with us, ministering the Word of God. And I tell you, he gave us some excellent ministry. On the Sunday morning when he spoke on John chapter 13, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I couldn't leave that morning without applying the Scriptures to my own soul. Do I wash other people's feet? I don't mean take a basin and water and literally wash them. But do I wash other people's feet with the Word of God in doing various things and encouraging them along the way? If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And I'll be honest with you, the Monday night that I came here when Brother Tom was with you just a little while ago, oh, he blessed my soul. He brought us to the place of practical Christian living in the ministry he gave here. Friends, do I apply the Word of God to myself as I read the Scriptures? Testing the Scriptures, testing the ministry that we hear. Is the ministry that we hear counterfeit, or is it real? And the only way that we'll be able to test it, and the only way that we can come to the practical conclusion that you have in verse 6, where it says, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, is when we're in the book for ourselves. Our Lord said to the Pharisees of his day, you search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But you will not come to me that you might have life. The Scriptures have one central focal point. The person of God's dear Son, the one who is the seed of the woman, promised in Genesis 3:15, revealed in time as a son of Mary and the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel. And God proved that he was the true seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, when he raised him from the dead and gave him glory. He is the focal point of Scripture. And all Scripture is tested by what think ye of Christ, whose Son is he. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of just drawing near and using this portion of the Word of God that the Apostle John used to warn us of false doctrine, in order that our minds and our hearts will be focused upon him who is indeed the seed of the woman, the Son of Righteousness, the Savior of his people, and the Star of the Morning. We thank you for him, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Take this word, bless it to every heart, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen.